Yes. Are we ready for the opening scripture now? Any more testimonies? We're good? Okay. This is really good because it talks about our prayers. This is, comes from the Epistle of John, the three little short epistles that John wrote, in the Gospel of John, that same John, way to the back near the end of your Bibles. And this is 1 John chapter 5. And we want to look at verses 14 and 15. There's some real nuggets here that we can glean out of this concerning prayer and faith and believing and trusting and having confidence. Everybody there? Can't cheat on the screen yet. No, it's good you bring your Bibles. There we are. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, let's look at this a little closer, because this is really, it comes down to a personal walk with the Lord. This is the confidence that we have in Him. The opportunity is always available for each one of us as believers to have confidence in God. Sometimes people will get in a situation and they'll say, well, I don't know what to do, so I tried everything else, I guess I'll pray. And I hope it works. That's not confidence. In fact, that's rather shaky. Because when you get to know the God of this Bible, there comes a point in your life where you realize how trustworthy He is, that not one of His precious promises has ever failed. He watches over His word to perform it. His word never returns to Him void, but it prospers where He sent it. All the promises of God in Christ are yes and amen. When you come to know those things about your Heavenly Father, as the Scriptures have revealed, and get rid of religion, religion will kill faith really quick. Get rid of everything that's on the outside. God's interested in what's going on the inside. Confidence. A confidence to me means I can count on Him. He's trustworthy. You know, it was like I was confident that somebody was going to say, yes, I'd like to do the communion teaching. I had no doubt whatsoever about asking that and just letting you think about it. And I had confidence that there would be someone. Because there's a knowing. We know each other. We're not such a big church that we can't get to know each other. And when you get to know your Heavenly Father on a personal level, He reveals Himself by His Word and by His Spirit. So you can have confidence in His Word because He's trustworthy. God is a God that cannot lie. Well, He could lie, but He won't because of His integrity. He just won't. This is the confidence that we have. It says, in Him, not in me. My prayers go as far as my eyebrows, and that's it kind of deal. Well, I hope He heard me. Well, I can tell you one thing, He's not deaf and you'll never have to scream and yell at Him. Why? Because His Holy Spirit is always present inside of you as a born-again believer. You're the house, not made with hands, where the temple, you're the temple. And so you don't have to get really shout at God. But you do have to speak. When you pray, speaking is important. That we have this confidence in Him. You got to be in Him to have confidence in Him. Amen. Does that make sense? Be in Christ. Have a relationship. And then it says that if we ask anything according to His will, Well, His will is revealed in His Word. His Word is His will. The last will and testament. That's because there isn't going to be another one. This is it. You know, when someone dies, there's a will. And now the bad thing about it is a lot of times people and families run into a situation where now a will is established by a judge in a probate court. Well, you'll never run into that problem with the Lord. Here's His will already laid out for you. And not only that, He came back to life to oversee His will that gets carried out. So it never has to go to probate. Whatever God said in His Word for you, always remember, look back at the cross and look at what happened. Every blessing, every promise, everything that God said in His Word concerning us happened at the cross. The work was complete. Jesus said, "It is finished." Don't wrongly take an Old Testament scripture like God is doing a new thing. No, He isn't. Might be new to you, but it isn't new to Him. He did what He said He would do. How do we receive it? Through the cross. That's why when you pray, you can find His will very clearly revealed in His Word. Some things maybe you need to pray about a specific job or something like that, but He already said that He would provide all of our needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. So if I'm praying for a job and a job comes, I'm going to take the job. Now, the reason I would do that is because I prayed that God would meet my needs and a job shows up. I don't believe the devil answers my prayers. I don't think he has the power to do anything but go around and deceive Christians, because he's been defeated. He has no power and authority over us unless we give it to him. Keep your foot right on his little neck. Write Jesus on the bottom of your shoes, because he's been cursed to walk in the dust of the earth all the days of his existence. And he'll look up and say, "Oh, there's a shoe with Jesus. I can't even say that name." Keep him where he belongs. You'll learn more about that in the word teaching. It's going to be really good. Got a lot of good things coming. The confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So this word "hear," there's a difference between hearing someone and listening to someone. If you're just really still, I can hear that projector. I can hear rustling of papers. But if you're speaking and I listen, then I have an understanding of what you're saying. When you see the word "hears," not only does God hear your voice in your prayer, but he's attentive to what your heart really needs. And he watches over that. And if our prayers are in line with his word, that's why it's important to learn his word, then that's where the confidence comes. If we've asked something according to his will, he hears us. And hearing means he has every intent of bringing it to pass in your life. So the question comes down to, do I have that confidence in him? And only you can answer that. I would be so foolish as to think that you might or you might not. I can only account for me. And I have 30 years to be able to testify to you that I put no confidence and an expectation on people that really needs to come from the Lord. My confidence is in him for my salvation and for all of his precious promises. And then verse 15 says, and if we know, if is a really, you have to decide for yourselves. Do you know that he heard you? Whatsoever we ask, this is awesome. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. This is why saying thank you after you've prayed once will do it. Because we've learned from Scripture, and we're going to look more at that in Mark chapter 11 later this morning. When you pray, believe that you receive it. Jesus made that very, very clear. Don't wait until you see it. When you pray, that's the moment that you release your faith and you start believing that you've received what you asked for. Because there are so many scriptures that indicate to us that when we pray according to his will, God hears us and we have those things which we've asked him. So with that in mind, your confidence in God should increase and not decrease. And your ability to release your faith with expressing thanksgiving after you've prayed, that shows God you really do believe him, that your confidence and your trust really is in him. Otherwise, why would you say thank you? Because when you pray, it's done. Consider it done. And then you can just make your prayer life a whole lot easier by just saying thank you. That's it. It's finished. It's a finished work. Well, for those of you that are visiting the third Sunday of the month, you're welcome to stay for our fellowship Mission Sunday dinner downstairs. You're also welcome to participate. This is the one time, unless we have a guest speaker offering. We have the Little White Church for our tithes and offerings that go in to, of course, maintain the church and its works. And if you have a financial need, we're always hopeful that there'll be enough among all of us to be able to make something happen. Those, don't put your tithes in here. This is a missions offering that goes to help someone in this church go on a missions trip. And it isn't always designed to pay all the expenses, but it helps to offset them. If you need a visa, if you need a passport, if you need a plane ticket, something like that, this is an in-house offering. It's your call on that. This isn't mandatory, but we do it among ourselves. And if you're visiting today and you want to participate, no one's going to tell you that you can't. So don't be shocked. We love this because I continuously by faith I'm saying it's going to be one of you other ones that are going to go. And this, we saw this as a, it could be you. Get your ticket. You want to take that? All right. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for our missions offering. We thank you that indeed that there are some in this body who have answered that call and gone and taken the gospel even into foreign nations. And we thank you for the help and support we receive from our brothers and our sisters. And we thank you, Lord, that that invitation is still open to others in this body who may feel a tug at their heart to go on a missions trip. And so, Father, as we sow, we thank you that we reap, and also that those that you raise up will have adequate funding. They would be able to go where you've called them to. And so we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Ah, happy days. Oh, happy days. Yes. Our sins away. Yes. And a lot of people give you the opportunity in a church to greet one another with a handshake, and that's okay, but we have huggy break here. And if you're not too finicky about hugs, go get one, because it's time. And go give one. Want to go back to Proverbs 18:21 just briefly as the root verse for the study on words. Just briefly come back to it, and then we will go on with where we left off last week. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That shows you how powerful words really are. And we had the graph up there, but we're going to go through all of these silly little things that we've said over the years and put scripture in their place. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And that's interesting, that second part of that verse, because we know, living in a fallen world around us, that there are people on the negative side of things that love to say things to rub you the wrong way, to get under your skin, to upset you, to make you angry, and just kind of just wind your clock up a little bit too tight. But then there are those who like to speak words that will encourage you, to bless you, to lift you up, to speak God's favor over your life. But either way, the person who likes to wound with their words, they're going to eat the fruit of that. And that's very important. It says, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that's why it's important that we begin to unravel some of the things that we've said over the years, so that we don't eat the fruit of some bad things that we've said. We want to learn to eat the fruit of good things that we've learned to speak. Because words are like seeds. They reproduce after their own kind. They have a tendency of multiplying. So that's the basis for this teaching. And last week and the week before that, I shared some examples of things that we've said over the years, and actually probably many of these, not realizing the words that we were speaking had any effect. I tried it and it didn't work for me. It's getting worse. You know, every time you utter the words, it's getting worse. The devil, if you could just see him and all his demonic cohorts, are just saying, oh goody, you think it's worse now, you just wait. You know, spiritually, what's going on behind words is something that we're going to expose through this teaching, that we learn to be more mindful of the things that we say, the way we communicate, and not get careless with our words. The last one we left off with last week is, I prayed and it didn't work out. And I said that I would come back to that this week, because here we're talking about prayer. And so many times, sadly, I've actually experienced people telling me that they prayed and it didn't work out. Now, there are a lot of conditions in the Bible about prayer. One of them is, what are we confessing? What are we speaking? What are we saying about prayer? I don't know if God hears me. I don't know if it's His will, so I'm just going to pray whatever His will is. Or, since God knows my heart, He probably knows my thoughts, so I'm going to think a prayer. There are a lot of things that go into prayer, and over the course of many years, many of us have had the opportunity to really explore ways to make that work a little better, if you think that maybe there's some improvement that could happen in your prayers being answered. So last week, we went to Mark chapter 11, and I'd like to come back there. Mark chapter 11, we talked about verses 22 and 23. From Mark chapter 11, we talked about where Jesus said, have faith in God, the implication from the Greek and Aramaic is that we would have the God kind of faith. And the reason we have the God kind of faith is, if you're a person who spends a lot of time in God's Word, Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. You can tell a lot about where you release your faith by the things you talk about. Faith really simply is living what we say we believe. There's a lot of biblical definitions of faith, but really it comes down to what faith to us is, that which we live. What we believe is reflected in the way that we live our lives. But have the God kind of faith. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, we talked about speaking lives in many people, a mountain can be that which seems unsurmountable. You can't get through a situation. Maybe it's a job loss or a sickness, a disease, or the loss of a loved one, or any number of things that life offers us, until we learn what God offers us. And then we have much better choices that we can make. But what we've said about it in the past determines where we are today. Because Jesus said, saying unto this mountain, we need to learn to speak to our mountains. If debt is a mountain in your life, then you can't begin to keep saying, I'll never get ahead, I'll never see these debts paid. And we talked about what those words do. They entrap us so that we never get out of that situation. In other words, we snare ourselves with our own words. I prayed and it didn't work out. Well, I prayed and it did, so, you know, what can I say? But here it is, speaking to the mountain. A lot of times, it depends on how, I'll admit, we have to grow to, in our knowledge of the word, to maybe make some changes that will be helpful. Sometimes people don't know that when they pray, there's a difference between speaking to a mountain and praying. You see, you've been given the name of Jesus to use. His name is powerful. There's no other name in heaven or on the earth or under the earth is more powerful than Jesus' name. His name is more powerful than poverty. His name is more powerful than lack. His name is more powerful than sickness. His name is more powerful than disease. His name is more powerful than anything that you can't fix. His name is the most powerful. And even the 70, not just the 12, but the 70 disciples that went out, Jesus commanded them to go out and heal the sick and cast out devils. They weren't born again. The Holy Spirit hadn't been given to indwell them yet, but they had one thing. They had his name. And they went out and they spoke to sickness and disease and commanded it to leave people's bodies. And that's really crucial. That's the difference between praying and using your authority as a believer. Because if you're a person who functions under the authority of Christ, and believers, he is our head, there's an authority that goes with it. When issues come up that you can speak to, you learn to speak to them. I don't recall, even in the beginning of my faith walk, I got spoiled on this word stuff to where that's all I know, and I know it works. I don't ask God to heal a sickness or a disease. I speak to the sickness and disease and command it to leave in Jesus' name. That may be a mountain in some people's lives, and when I pray for that, I always call it by name because I studied Jesus' ministry for years and years and years. That's 99% of my reading is the four Gospels. I've read and studied more times than I know how many times I've read. But my main focus is doing what Jesus said to do and expecting the results that Jesus got, and learning to speak what he spoke, learning to do what he said to do, and believing that it will work. And that was an example, learning to speak to mountains. And that's what this word teaching is going to be about, learning to take his word and speak it into situations that otherwise haven't changed. So then we get down to, and shall not doubt in his heart. You know, Jesus talked about having faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, and that will remove mountains. Because you notice it says, shall say unto this mountain. It didn't say, ask God to move the mountain. It didn't say, oh Lord, take this mountain away from me. No, Jesus said, you speak to the mountain. I've given you my name. I've given you the authority. You have the same spirit that raised me from the dead. That's living on the inside of you. That's mountain-moving power available to you as a believer. But what happens is, if we ask God to do something he's already done, we're already showing God we don't believe him. Whether you say you do or you don't, our actions show otherwise. And so those are things that you're going to find quite often are going to be unanswered prayers, because you're asking God to do something that he already empowered you to do, and he expects you to do it and to release your faith and not doubt in your heart that whatsoever you speak, it's going to happen. See, there's an expectation that God has on us. We have an expectation of him, but there's also an expectation from God's viewpoint. It's like if I wrote a really big check and I put it in your bank account, and you went around and you were telling everybody, boy, I got $10,000 in the bank. And you went around telling everybody how much money you had in the bank, and then you died poor. And we all showed up at your funeral and said, I don't know why they were so poor. And then maybe somebody in the family was, they never wrote a check. They just kept telling everybody how poor they were. And spiritually, that's the same thing. We need to understand what God has already provided, what he's already given, instead of asking him. It's thanking him for what he's given. Because you look at the cross, and all of his blessings, all of his promises came through the cross to us. So there are many things that, until we learn to use our authority, a lot of believers don't believe they have that authority. It's kind of like having the power of attorney with the word. If you're the power of attorney for someone's health care, and I was with my mom, and every time the hospital wanted to do a procedure, they always would have to call me and say, may we have your permission to do this? And the power of attorney, I made sure, was in all the medical records. So they didn't have to call me anymore, but they still did. They wanted to make sure that that was an accurate paper in my mom's medical records. Well, we don't have to ask. It's already been given. The authority that you have as a believer, and you can speak with authority. Notice, you know, I don't want to go too far more into where we were last week, but shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that these things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. That's pretty powerful. People have written books, big long books, about this principle. Kenneth Hagin and some of the others from Rhema Bible College, great, great men of faith with a lot of revelation and wisdom and knowledge and understanding. But here Jesus said it very simply. And me, I'm simple works good for me. I like simple. That I can get. Now, verse 25 is also important. Verse 25 says, and when you stand praying, have aught against any. that your Father also in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Well, what has that to do with the context of what we just read? If we go before the Lord in prayer or exercising our authority as believers, and we're asking God even in prayer, but we're holding unforgiveness towards someone, that's going to go a long ways to hindering your prayer life. It's very important to realize that if you or I, because it says if ye, you have ought against any, does that means you got an issue with somebody, you got a score that hasn't been settled, there's things that you're holding against somebody because they wronged you, like the old beer drinking song, "Somebody done me wrong, gotta go get some beer and drown all my sorrows in a bar somewhere. Somebody done somebody wrong," something like that. I used to call it them old belly aching cowboy songs. They made my belly ache. I just wanted to get away from it because it was no hope. No hope. That's just where people were living. But so if somebody done you wrong and you still got issues, you need to get that straightened out somehow. Write letters, phone calls, texts, do something, but get it right. And remember this about forgiveness. When you forgive someone, it doesn't say that what a person did to you or offended you was right, but forgiveness releases you. Otherwise, unforgiveness just holds you connected to that person. It's like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. That's what unforgiveness is like. So it's important in our prayers, if we want a more effective prayer life, to make sure that we're quick to forgive. How quick was Jesus to forgive those that put him on the cross? With his last breath almost. But he realized the importance of it. That he didn't want his murder charged to their account, because if you back up in the story just before he was crucified, Pilate washed his hands of the matter. But then those who carried out Jesus' crucifixion said, "Then let his blood be upon us and our children." And we talked about this in Bible study, how Israel brought a curse upon themselves at their highest levels by their own governing, the religious authorities, the high priests, the religious authorities of the land said, "Then let his blood be on our hands and our children." And Israel has cursed themselves ever since. And look at the chaos and havoc that has come upon the nation of Israel ever since. Jesus was quick to forgive them. And we need to be just as quick to forgive others. So that, why? Because I want to make sure my slate's clean with the Lord. I don't want to hold anything against anyone, because I don't want anything held against me. This is very important in our prayers, that there's not anything between us and the Lord, or us and another person that would hinder that. So that's why that's in there. "But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you." So make sure. Make sure before you even go to prayer, if you have a particular devotion time or a time of prayer, make sure one of the first things you do in praise and worship, and then ask God to forgive, and that you choose to forgive others that have wronged you, because that way, that opens the slate open to heaven. Jesus set that example. The other scripture I'd like to look at is John chapter 15. In verse 7, John chapter 15 it's a rather long parable about the vine and the branches. Jesus talked about being the true vine, and one of the things that first leaped out at me when he says, "I am the true vine," that tells me there's a false vine. But he said he was the true vine. And he talks about abiding in him, and we're branches in him. He's the one true vine. And he was describing a vineyard, and grapevines. But it was a parable to illustrate a spiritual truth. And he talked about abiding. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. This word abide means to live and to remain attached to, so that there's something that binds you together. With that word abide has that kind of connotation. It means you're really attached to this thing. You're a part of it and it's a part of you. And that walk with the Lord is so important. It's like the branches on the trees out by the stone wall. If one of those branches that gets blown off in a windstorm, the leaves will probably not wither for a couple days, but eventually they will, because they're cut off from the vine. That branch is no longer abiding in the vine of the tree. And it's the same with the Christian. If we separate ourselves from our walk with the Lord, or our walk begins to get lukewarm, what happens is we begin to wither. We're not as powerful as we once were. We start speaking words of doubt and unbelief. We're not speaking the word as much anymore. We're not interested in attending Bible studies and fellowship and times of coming together. Why? Because we're detaching ourselves. We're not abiding like we once did. So that word abiding is very important. And you get down into verse 7, and it has a very, very wonderful hope. If you abide in me, notice the word. I'm big on small words, because when I see the word if, that means I have to make a decision. After I read that verse, then I have to make a decision. Am I abiding? Am I abiding in him? Because he says, if you abide in me, do I live in, do I dwell in, do I remain attached to Christ? And that's why it says if. Because each one of us only knows if we do or not. But here's a promise that goes along with this. Well, I prayed and it didn't work out for me. So I'm trying to give you some little biblical ways to help improve your prayer life and seeing more prayers answered. You shall ask what you will, and he's only going to hear you on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. Oh, I knew I brought that funny Bible again. Nope. It's 3 o'clock, I'm sorry. Now what does it say? You shall ask what you will and what? Now, isn't that a wonderful promise? But see how it's connected? It's connected to abiding. It's connected to our walk with him. It's all about our relationship with him. So, I prayed and it didn't work out. Well, maybe these are some ways that you can change that, so that when you pray, it will work out. And that's really all I'm really attempting to do, is to show you biblically how to undo why it doesn't work out, so that you wouldn't say that. Because, you know, the more you say it, we always say the things we believe. So already there's a problem with the belief system somewhere. You truly believed that you prayed, and you truly believed it didn't work out, and because that is the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words come from our heart. And we say, oh, I didn't mean that. Yes, you did. It was in our heart. Jesus said that. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mentally, maybe, there might be a few things we've said that we wished we hadn't after we said them. But that's like cutting open a feather pillow on top of a mountain in a hurricane and then trying to put all the feathers back in the pillowcase. It's too late. So we can begin to turn these things around. So that your prayer life can be much better. I have one more scripture with that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11 is very well known as the faith chapter and the faith hall of fame. But verse 6 kind of stands out. It's just kind of sandwiched in there, but yet it's quite profound. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. That goes back to what Jesus taught us in Mark chapter 11. Now we're in Hebrews chapter 11. Without faith, the releasing of our faith. And it isn't even our faith. God gave us the faith to believe him because it came from his word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. If we spend very little time in his word, then you can expect very little results because you'll have little faith. But the more you read, the more you study, the more confident you get in what God said in his word, that it's true. And so you act on it. That's the key. Faith is an action word. If I say I believe something, then that means my life needs to reflect what I say I believe. So faith is an action word. We need to act on it as though it's true. Because there's been a lot of tears shed and all you got was wet shoes. You know, it doesn't mean that God doesn't have mercy and compassion, but the truth of the matter is, what good does it do to go before the God who saved you and you have difficulty releasing faith in that you're convinced that he's who he said he is and that his word is what he said it is. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I scared a person off once for a while because I used the word diligent. They had been in a church that basically beat people over the head all the time. And that word diligent meant, one more thing I got to do. And they copped an attitude. It was a trigger word in their thinking because they had always had things pounded on them and spoken down. We're all ministers together. We're all in this stuff together, each one of us. And so we learn together. We teach each other. The word diligent means if it isn't working, don't give up. We talked about that. Don't be weary in well doing, for in due season we'll reap if we faint not. So this is, we're really going to go someplace with this. Diligently. It means make it a consistent way of life. And I found that to be true with Christianity, is that it's the only living, true relationship. Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. And the quality of it depends on us, because everything that I see from God's perspective is, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I had a word this week on Wednesday, and I think I shared it at Bible study Wednesday night, and the word of the Lord came to me and said, you're richer than you look. And the revelation of that is, it's not about always how much money you have in your pocket. Your Father has given you the kingdom. You have an inheritance laid up for the saints. Riches untold. Riches most of us have never tapped into. You're richer than you look. I like that. Be diligent. Don't give up. Press in. Hang on. Like I told Tom, first trip to India, I said, I'm just in it for the ride. I let the Holy Ghost do everything else, and I'm just going to ride. You watch and see how these things are going to change as we go through this on words. And even when winter comes, we might still be here. I don't know. We'll see. But get one of those little books. I think you'll find them very helpful, and hopefully we can get more if more of you would like them. But tune again next week for Communion with Priscilla. Previews of coming goodies. Amen. And thank you. I want to pray with you in faith, believing. Oh, I didn't even do our scripture that went with that. Was that for this week? Let me see. I might have robbed you of a blessing. We have to go back to Mark 11. Ah, I'm so sorry about that. I really am, because that was building up to the grand finale of the morning. Let me see. Where were we? Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Yes, this is it. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. That's the grand finale. When you pray, believe you receive. Not when you see it. It's when you pray, that's when you believe that you've received it. And why can you say that? Because it's already in the Word. It's like every day I remember when I've gone before the Lord and thanked Him for something, and it might have taken a long time before it manifested, but I never said, I prayed and it didn't work out. Every day I would thank the Lord that on such and such a day that I prayed, I remind the Lord that I released my faith that day, and I believed on Monday that I received it. And I'm just using that as an example. On Monday I went before the Lord in prayer for something. And so every day I would go before the Lord in my prayer time and say, Father, I thank you that on Monday I received that which I prayed for. Could be healing, could be a job, could be issues going on with our kids or our grandchildren. I thank the Lord from the day that was first prayed, and I just keep saying that over and over and over every day. Why? Because He's already given it to me. But see, we don't want to be like people who have to wait until they see it before they believe it. And I know we look a little foolish to the unsaved when they go around, oh, you're sick. How can you say you're healed? Well, because the Bible says that by His stripes I was healed. And if I was, then I am. And if I am, then I have every reason to say I've been healed. And I thank God for my healing every day. That's another thing. I thank Him every day that I'm healed, because He healed me at the cross. That's a revelation for some people. The provision for healing was made at the cross. God don't force us to get saved, but salvation was provided at the cross. God doesn't force us to get delivered from all the powers of the enemy, but because of the cross we have been. God doesn't force us to do anything. Doesn't force us to get healed. Doesn't force us to do anything. But the provision has already been made for those things to happen. So when you pray, Father, I thank you. It's already done. And then you stand in that position of thanksgiving, releasing your faith, just like what this says. From the time you pray, that's when you believe you receive. You release your faith right then. That's why lots of times when somebody's got an ongoing thing like Marcia's car, she loves every week to, don't you forget to pray for my car. And I say, no, and don't you forget to thank Him for your car. See, we already petitioned God for the car. So now we thank Him for the car. And it's going to be some awesome car.
Amen.
Just like yours. Just like all of yours. Who wants prayer?